in this season. But I pray that you'll open up your ears, maybe hear a new voice. I've been on so many Zoom calls, you know, up to about 2 months ago, I'd heard of Zoom, but now I feel like I live on Zoom. And after a while, you have to separate yourself. You just have to look unto the Lord, take a deep breath, say, God, I know you're with me. I know you're helping me. I know you're going to see me through to the other side. I know this isn't meant to destroy my life or my family or the ones that I love. But in the middle of all of this, in the middle of this season, God, you're going to do great and mighty things that we know not of. If you haven't already done so, would you share this tonight? And if you've never gotten a message from us, and listen, we want to shore up our contact list. We want to make sure that we know who you are and that we can stay in touch with you and let you know things that are happening. Just text to 585-487-8100. Text the word connect, and that'll connect you. And we won't inundate you with a lot of texts. You might get one. You may get two a week. And it'll just keep you up to date, but it'll help us to stay connected with you. Sometimes people go through things, and sometimes we think that somebody knows us or they know how to get a hold of us, when in fact they don't. And we want to be a part of that in your life. I want to ask you tonight if you'll consider giving to the work of the Lord. It's our midweek, and it's always one of my favorite times. It really is. And to have Carrie here to lead us in worship tonight. Pastor Ryan's going to bring us an incredible word. Our food pantry was operating today. It's as it does every week, twice a week. We've been picking up food. Thank God for 8 days of hope. We went up and got a big trailer from them, and we've been sharing that all over. We got, I don't know, like almost 100 half gallons of milk just this last week. We handed them all out in 2 days. People were just thrilled about that. And so you're partnering with us. You're helping with that, make that a reality. If you've never downloaded the PushPay app, that's the best way to do it. You can do it really easy. Or if you text the word THECITYCHURCHNY to 77977, that'll bring up on your device how you can use that to give. You could go to our website, thecitychurch.com. Some of you, I know for some people, they say, well, I'm not into all that. We're in a season you need to get into all of it, but that, because that's how we're connecting. So go to our website, thecitychurch.com. Go to a little tab up there that says give. It's that push pay connection is so secure. And then for those of you that just want to send it in the mail, City Church 210 East Main Street, Batavia, New York, 14020. I want to say to you, every one of the pastors, the elders, our staff, the leaders, the church family, we thank you so much. God bless you so much for that. I've asked every week for the pastors to come up and share something. I want Pastor Erin to come up tonight, and she's been just such an incredible blessing during this season.
Well, hello, everyone. We're glad that you joined us tonight. I just want to share with you for a few moments about the word stand. It's something that has just been on my heart the past couple of days, just that very word stand. In Isaiah 7, verse 9, it says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. If you do not stand in your faith, you will not stand at all. That word stand means to stop. It means to remain steady. You see, standing is an action word. So many times we don't think of standing as being anything, but when you stand for too long somewhere, what do you get? You kind of like get a little tired. You're like, man, I want to sit down. So standing requires strength, agility, and it also requires purpose. Why are we standing? The Bible says if we're not standing firm in faith, we're not standing at all. So we have to remain steady, and we have to stand with a purpose. The Bible says in Psalm 40, verses 1 through 2. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet upon a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. See, God has not only given us a place to stand, He's given us a firm place to stand, something that's not going to fall, something that's not going to allow us to crash and to burn. He's given us something steady, right? I go to the rock where I can stand. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God stands forever. So we know that we are standing on something solid. We know that we are standing on something strong. So how do we do that? How do we stand firm in faith, and how do we stand on God? Well, in Ephesians 6, it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And then listen, he says, after you have done everything to stand, he says it again, stand firm then. After you've done everything to stand, after you've done everything, after you're tired, after you don't know if you can stand anymore, he says to stand firm then. And then it goes on to list the armor of God and how you're putting that on every single day. So that's how we're going to be able to stand firm. That's how we're going to be able to stand firm in faith. That's how we're going to be able to know that we're standing on his promises, is that when we're able to suit up and put on the full armor of God, that means we're not going to stop. We're not going to quit. We're going to be determined to stand on God's word. We're going to be strong to know and diligent enough to stand on his promises, because he has a place for us to stand, and we're going to be able to do that. So let's continue to stand on his promises. Let's continue to stand on his word, to stand in his strength, and keep standing. Amen.
Awesome. Awesome. Are you standing? Standing strong, believing him for great things that you don't even understand, you don't even know about yet. I want to encourage you to do that. I'm so honored and grateful for my middle son, Pastor Ryan, to come and share God's word. If you were here, I'd tell you to jump up and clap your hands. So right where you are, come on, give us some thumbs up, give us some hearts. Welcome, Pastor Ryan McDonald.
Hey, it's good to be with you tonight. Exciting. Thank you, Carrie, for being here and just ushering in God's presence. Aren't you thankful and grateful for that tonight? There's some girl power up in here. My mom, Pastor Aaron. Mom speaking last Sunday, you did a fantastic job, even though you're kind of ignoring me right now. You did a great job. Until you look at me, I'll just stay right on it. You did a great job, a fantastic job. I'm so proud to call you Mom. And Pastor Aaron, last Thursday, some girl power up in here. And then, as always, I always want to say I'm so blessed. I'm so honored. I just stand in awe of my wife, Samantha, day in and day out. I'm so happy to do life with my wife for life, Samantha. So give her some love tonight as well. Always, my dad and my mom, thank you for pastoring and parenting me. I wouldn't be here tonight sharing with you without them, and I just want to honor them tonight. Hey, our goal tonight is just to lift you up. It's to glorify God, but it's also to speak life and hope and God's help into you. We want to be a blessing to you tonight as we minister, as we worship. Every service, our goal is to be a blessing to you. We're so glad you're with us tonight. Thank you for joining us on Thursday nights and Sunday. We'll be back here again, 8:30, 10 a.m., and 12 noon. So God bless you. Thank you so much. I visited a scripture last week, and I want to read it to you again. It began to speak to my heart and speak to my spirit. I pray that it does the same to you tonight. And it says, it's in Philippians 3:13, and it won't be the main reference of what I'm sharing tonight, but it drew me to a particular topic tonight, and I want to read it to you again. Philippians 3:13, it says, "No, brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it," the Apostle Paul says, "but I focus." He says, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. He says, I focus on this one thing. He says, I focus on this. And I don't know about you, but for me, as I read that tonight, there are moments in my life where it's hard to focus. It's difficult to focus with the things that are happening right now with our future in mind, financial stresses in mind, our health in mind, decisions to make, decisions about kids and kids' safety and decisions in our homes and our job situations, our schedules are thrown astray, unsure about school. It's hard to focus. Maybe there's someone in your home dealing with some difficulty physically. It's hard to focus sometimes. I don't know about you, but for me, the Lord, during this season, you know, your pastors they're human. And during this time of difficulty, when we got phone calls and emails and communication saying the doors would be locked, the doors of your churches would be locked. And I'll tell you what, I've walked into these doors ever since even before it became a church, and we were tearing the wall down through this center building and preparing this house to be a house of worship Sunday after Sunday, day after day, week after week, worshiping the Lord in this place, all for someone to call and say, hey, you can't go and do that. Focus is hard in times of crisis. Focus is difficult in moments of difficulty. I don't know about for you, but for me, it's hard to focus sometimes. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you tonight that you work. That your ways, Father, you play interception. You play on our lives, Father. You handle things from beginning to end. We just ask, Father, that we could focus on you during times of difficulty. We love you tonight. We honor you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I read this week that 91% of Generation Z is the most stressed generation in history. That age group, Pastor Aaron told me this week, is ages 5 to 25. They deal with significant stress, and they deal with it a little differently than maybe we do. The pressure of education, the pressure of a future. No generation before them has lived through something such as this. For the adults listening tonight, maybe it's your job. Maybe it's the stress of paying bills. Maybe your kids being home has created a little bit of a different setting in the home. I was asking the Lord this week during times like this, is it even possible to focus? Can you really say during a time of difficulty, during a time of stress, that you can really actually focus? I'd like to show you something in the Old Testament. A prophet, he loved God like I hope you do, like I do. He saw the faithfulness of God. He saw the goodness of God. We've seen the miraculous goodness of God, the miracles and signs and the wonders of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in a time of struggle and in a time of difficulty, he had trouble focusing. It was a battle to focus. Maybe we can relate tonight to the prophet Elijah. He struggled to focus in a moment of difficulty. He comes on the scene in 1 Kings, and all of a sudden he begins to give this word. He begins to minister in a way that is profound and prolific. He goes to the king of the country, and he says, there will be a drought. There will be a season of difficulty. There will be a season like no other. And he speaks the word of God to a nation, and it stops raining. The miracles, the signs, and the wonder. The God that we speak of tonight, Elijah speaks on his behalf, and not a drop of rain falls from the sky. He prophesied this drought, and then it happened. And all of a sudden, in the scripture, it shows that Elijah goes to being a man chased, a man hated, a man where the scripture shows that God tells him where to go and where to hide, how to avoid being killed. He directs his very path. He directs his very step. Tells him, go this way, go that way. Don't go here, go there. Because the king, King Ahab, wanted to kill him. He finds himself hiding and God speaks to him. He says, I'll bring you bread and I'll bring you meat with ravens. Amazing to me. He's put in a position where he's in a widow's house and the widow's son becomes sick and actually dies in the house. And the widow looks on to him and says, did you come here to bring ill on us? Finds himself in a position where he needs God in a profound way. He lays on the child and speaks the word of God back into him. And he comes to life. The God of the signs and the wonders does miraculous things in and through Elijah. Comes to another place and he's faced with 850 false prophets, the prophets of Baal. One guy versus 850 prophets of Baal. Stands them down. Looks them in the eyes. Challenges them. Says, let your God do what he will do, and I'll call on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to do what he can do. And they stood there and they called on him, and they called on Baal, and they called on him. And the scripture describes how Elijah actually mocked them. Why do you mention that, Ryan? Because can't we all get out of character a little bit from time to time? He begins to speak and he begins to say, okay, are you done? And they said, yeah, we're done. Okay. Well, he said, let me build the altar of God that you ripped down, that you tore down because you didn't believe in the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. You didn't believe in my God, the God of Israel. Begins to build that altar. And God begins to speak through him again. The signs and the wonder, God. Elijah says, bring me some water. Bring me gallons of water. And they brought the gallons of water. And I don't know if it had a cow on the jug, but it was kind of like that one. They got done dumping the water on the altar, and all of a sudden, he looks at it and he says, now dig a trench around this altar and bring all that much more water. Double the water that you put on it. Soak it down. And he gets on his knees and he begins to cry out to God in a way that maybe I have, maybe you have. And this God that we speak of tonight, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, he brings down fire from heaven and consumes the very image of the altar. The scripture depicts it. It even sucked the water up that was laid on the altar. Profound moving of God. Handles it. Bread from heaven. Meat from ravens. Raised the dead. Stood down 850 prophets of Baal. I don't know about you, but I get a little nervous with a couple false prophets. Amen, if you know what I'm talking about. But Elijah faces them down and handles it. He does all these things, miracles, signs, and wonders as a representation of God himself here on earth. And after all the power of God displayed in his life, And I'll tell you what, I can relate to this. After God did amazing things, Elijah begins to lose his focus. He begins to go a little off course. And this is where I'd like to grab the scripture. God provides him continual protection, provision, and the power of God. And one grumpy woman makes a threat, and Elijah falls totally apart. What? What? 850 prophets of Baal? He stands them down. He calls fire from heaven and it consumes them all. He even kills the prophets of Baal. You read the scripture for yourself. Kills the prophets with his own sword. King Ahab goes running home to his wife. In the midst of this, Elijah calls for rain from heaven. And guess what it does? It rains. King Ahab goes home to his wife. Tells his wife what happened. She gets mad. Ain't nothing like a mad woman. And Elijah, the man of God, the prophet sent by God, the God of the signs and wonders. I hope you're getting this. The guy that God uses to say there will be no rain for 7 years, and then all of a sudden gets down on his knees after killing 850 prophets, prays to God in heaven, and it starts to rain. And the scripture actually says that Elijah told the king, he said, hurry up and go home, or the rain will become so fierce you won't be able to see your way. One grumpy woman, King Ahab gets home. He gets home and he tells his wife, and his wife doesn't even see Elijah. Get this now. Doesn't even see him. Sends notice to Elijah. Read the scripture. Elijah reads it and falls apart. So I begin to ask myself this question. What is one woman that he's not even seen have that 850 prophets of Baal don't have? The answer is nothing. Here's the answer. I'm going to read you this. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, and now he had killed the prophets with a sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. Get that. May the gods deal with me, be it so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them that you've already killed. Elijah, listen to this. Elijah was so afraid, he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat under it, and prayed that he might die. He asked God, please take my life from me. I have had enough. Have you ever said that to God? I've had enough. Take my life. I can't handle it anymore. After all that God did back there, after all the testimony back there, to come up to some little bump in the road, some grumpy woman, and say, I've had enough, take my life. I am no better, he says, than my ancestors. Then he laid down under the bush and fell asleep. Elijah falls apart over one woman. It's amazing to me. You can handle a lot. You can work through a lot of things. You can overcome. You know, when we were growing up, me and my brother, you know, it was always a joke. Get over it. Rub some dirt in it. Forget about it. Just keep going. And as adults, we think the same thing applies emotionally. We go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. Oh, just rub some dirt in it. Don't worry. You don't need a counselor. You don't need your pastor. You don't need God. Just work through it and forget it. But here's the problem. Here's the problem with Elijah, and here's the problem with us. One thing might be okay. Another thing might be okay. And the problem is we don't even recognize when we get to the place where we say, I've had enough. We get there, and we didn't even know we were close to it. And I don't think Elijah did either. Why all of a sudden had Elijah lost his focus and had enough? Why? Why did he fall apart at that moment? I want to talk to you about that just for a few more minutes. And I'm going to be done. Elijah made some common mistakes that we make, that I've made. I'm going to give you four things not to fall into. Number one, are you with me? If you're with me, say I'm with you. Elijah, the scripture says in 1 Kings 19:3, it says Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. He ran for his life. Two references to run. It really could be 2 points, but for the sake of time, we run from people. We run from people, and we run ourselves into the ground. He's afraid, and he ran for his life. The scripture even says he couldn't run any further. He ran approximately 100 miles until he just was wore out. It's like when you say, I worked 80 hours in a week, and I never stopped. I feel like I've been running to the ground. I've seen God move in a miraculous way. I've seen him do wonderful things, but in the meantime, I ran myself into the ground. I worked double shifts. I made a lot of extra money, but I ran myself into the ground. I got a lot done, but you know, I didn't spend 5 minutes with my wife this week. I ran my marriage into the ground. See, Jezebel wasn't Elijah's problem. What Elijah's problem was, is he went from one thing to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. He never read his YouVersion app. He never got up in the morning and poured back into himself what he took out of himself. He never prayed. He never took his wife out on a date and told her how much he loved her and how much she meant to her and how much of a difference she made in his life. He never stopped and drank the extra water that he needed. He never did the self-care that he needed. He ran himself into the ground. He preached week after week after week after week, service after service, devotional after devotional, and he ran himself into the ground. He took the phone calls when he said that he wouldn't. He got out of work. He says, I'm done for the day. And all of a sudden, the call rang and work called. And he took the call at home that he knew he shouldn't have took. He answered the text that came in after hours, after he'd worked himself to the bone all week. He answered the text that he knew he shouldn't have. He ran himself into the ground. Don't run yourself into the ground. That's the first mistake Elijah makes. Number two, he continues in verse 3. Listen to this. He left his servant there while he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness. Number one, he ran himself into the ground. Number two, what did he do? He left his servant. He left his most trusted advisor behind. His most loyal companion, his best friend, the guy that was with him, the guy that he said he'd be his ride or die with, that he'd walk with for the long run. He got a little pressure on him, and he left them behind. He left his people. He left his tribe. He left his community. He left his companion. Don't leave your people. Don't leave your family. Dad, don't leave your kids. Don't leave your wife. Don't leave your tribe. Don't leave your people in a moment of pressure, in a moment of crisis, in a moment of pain. Don't leave your people. Don't leave your pastor. When you start getting a little pressure and things don't quite work your way and you feel a little friction, you feel a little sideways movement inside of you, don't leave your pastor. The heartbeat of who you are is not only Jesus, it's people. I want you to say this with me tonight. I will not leave my tribe. Say it at home. I will not lose my focus and shut people out. I will not run from mentors in my life. I will not run from companions in my life. I will not run from the people God sent to me to walk through life with. And it happens. Listen, I've been married now 16 years. If you lose your focus, you'll leave your family. My dad, from time to time, he'll say, Ryan, you need to go home. Just go home. You've done enough. Go home. Number one, don't run yourself into the ground. Number two, don't leave your people. Because your people will tell you, dude, you look like you're a little run down. You look like you're a little worn out. Go home. Don't leave your people. Number three, are you with me? He focused on the negative. Verse 4 says this, he came to a broom bush. He sat under it and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he says. Take my life. Listen to this. He focuses on the negative. I am no better than my ancestors. All of a sudden, he digs down into some old thing that the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, focus on those things which are ahead. He digs this thing out from nowhere. It's like saying, oh, I'm no better than my dad, but I'm being used of God, but I'm no better than the dad that left me. Yeah, you are. It's like saying, I'm no better than my dad's dad. He was a drunk and he was an alcoholic and he beat us all and I'm no better than him. In a moment of distress, you can focus so strongly on whatever happened that was negative that you can totally forget what God's doing in the moment, in the season, in the time. If you look backwards at what happened and what should have happened and could have happened and did happen, you'll focus on the negative and you'll lose your focus. How could they want me? I'm broken. I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. God will use the broken. He'll use the unwanted. Don't bring it up again. Don't go back to it. Don't recall it. I press towards the call, the mark in Christ Jesus. He begins to say, I'm insecure. He begins to say, nobody wants me. He begins to say, I've done too much bad. He begins to say, God will never use me. He's blinded by everything negative. Don't lose your focus. Life isn't going to get better. never going to change, never going to get into the right college. My parents were X. My parents were Z. I'm in a financial struggle. I don't see how my marriage can work out. Elijah focuses on the negative. And if you focus on the negative, you'll get to the place where you say, I've had enough. Take my life. I'm going to let you in on a little PK secret. You analyze. My parents might not love me saying this, but you analyze pastors. As a PK, you analyze pastors' families. You do. You think to yourself, how can a man that leads a church of 10,000, how can he get up and preach and teach and minister and serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and come to the place where he wants to kill himself? I'm going to tell you how. I'm telling you how. Number one, you run yourself into the ground. Number two, you leave your close companion. You don't think you can rest on anyone. You don't think you can let anyone lift you because you've left your closest companion. And number three, focus on the negative. That's why the Apostle Paul says, I've not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting it and moving on. Number four, and I'm just about done. He ran himself into the ground. He shut people out. He focused on the negative. And number four, I hope you're getting something out of this. Number four, he forgot God. Every step of Elijah's life, every season of Elijah's life, he was on a balance beam. God, you put me on a balance beam. I'm going to need Jesus. And God had him all the way until one crazy woman. You know what the scripture says? The scripture says back before that Ahab should have never married her because her family worshiped Baal and Ahab's didn't. That's a whole nother message. He forgot God in the process. God had been present. He provided. He protected him. He forgets all of that. And he concentrates on one little fear. I'm going to kill you. One little note that some lady sends. One little comment on Facebook that somebody said some nonsense. One little email where somebody said, you did this and did that. Accusation, stupidity. He internalized it. He took it as gospel within his spirit. He focused on the fear of dying, and he fell apart. Don't get caught in this season running yourself into the ground with your thoughts. Don't get caught saying, there's some people saying right now, you know what the Holy Spirit told me? He told me this before service. He said, there's some people that are planning on not going back to their people. There's some people that they say, oh, this is a perfect time for me to break off and move on. Don't run from your people. I love who God is. Who he is in my life, who he is in your life. Watch this now. Elijah's falling apart. He's asking God, take my life. He's suicidal. God doesn't rebuke him. He doesn't disown him. He doesn't hate him. Even though God knows all of what he did before, and that in the moment Elijah loses his focus, he doesn't hate him in that moment. He says this to him. Watch this now. 1 Kings 19:11, he said, then the Lord said, go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the scripture says the Lord wasn't in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord wasn't even in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. Spoke. Whispered. Why did he whisper to him? Why did he speak softly to him? Here's why. Because the minute you lose your focus on the noise, you lose your focus on the whisper. That's why I tell you, that's why I beat the drum about you version. Because in the morning hour, the Holy Spirit will whisper. The minute you crack the door and leave, it's chaos. It's noise. It's crisis. It's insanity. God isn't in any of that. He's in the whisper. You know what I noticed? Every miracle that God did in Elijah's life, he did it on the heels of a whispered prayer. On a moment spent with the Holy Spirit. Think of every time you wandered from God. You weren't paying attention to the whisper. God wasn't in the remarkable. He was in the ordinary habit of talking to his servant. He was in the morning hours. The devil shouts, God whispers. He is with you. Receive this. He is with you. He will never leave you. He's in your living room. He's in your bedroom. He's in the whisper. He's in the quiet moments. I'm done. But by the way, that thing that Elijah feared, you remember what it was? That woman said, I'm going to kill you. If you really know your Bible, you know the crazy thing about that journey that Elijah took? That thing that Elijah was so scared of? He was with his protege. You know it, Dad. And all of a sudden, a chariot of fire come running down. He steps on the chariot of fire, and he ascended into heaven. He never died. He never died. The thing you fear the most, the thing you're scared of the most, the thing that's haunted you, the thing that made you lose your focus, made you lose sight of tomorrow, the thing that made you say, take my life, it never happened to Elijah. And I speak the Holy Spirit's word over you tonight. It'll never happen. It will never happen. I rebuke that thing in Jesus' name. I pray that you've enjoyed being in God's house tonight. This is my favorite place to be. I told my mom a couple months ago, I said, I got a close number one to favorite place to be is St. Anthony's. But I love to be in the Lord's house because I want to hear his voice. I want to hear the word of the Lord. Carrie, come sing with me. Hallelujah.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Called my name. And I've been born again into your family. Your love flows through my veins, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Scripture means so much to me. I have, in moments and times in my life, in all transparency, just wanted to run. You know, things happen. Nobody can hurt you like people that you love. And being a pastor, being in ministry, can be one of the greatest. It really is. It's the greatest calling and gift that God could ever bring anyone. It can also be one of the most difficult. And that resonates with me so much, because I'm cognizant of the fact that those points that Ryan made tonight are so true, because sometimes I've tried to do things without God's help. And it always leads to that place of emptiness and loss and frustration and pain and hurt and fear. But when you come back to Him, praise God, He's always waiting for you. I'm not suggesting that you run away from Him so you can come back to Him. I'm echoing what Pastor Ryan said tonight. Stay close to Him. I want to talk to somebody just for a moment, then we're going to close. You may be going through some of the most difficult moments that you have ever gone through in your life. Can I tell you, God has not left you. He has not forgotten you. He is not mad at you. He didn't create this. But He's the one that wants to come into your life and help you now. Did you hear me? He wants to come and help you. Well, keep that camera right in front of me. I want that. I want to look in somebody's eye right now. Listen to me. You've never given your life to Jesus. You say, oh, I'm a good guy. I'm a good person. I've done good. That's not enough. You must ask Him to be the Savior and the Lord of your life. He's not ready to get you back for what you haven't done. He's ready to embrace you so He can lead you into being who you are created and called to be. I know I'm speaking to somebody. My heart just, I felt that tug and that pull on my heart tonight while you were listening to that. Somebody, maybe you're in a place of brokenness. Maybe your family, you've left them. Come on home. Come on home. Maybe you've left your tribe. Come on home. Whoever that is, wherever that is. You got mad at somebody over something foolish. The enemy has just taken that. He's manipulated that in your life. Come on home. Come home to Him tonight. Pray this with me. I want everyone to pray this. Just close your eyes. Just you and God right now. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my faults, my wrongs, my mess ups. I ask you to forgive me of them. I ask you to come into my life. I accept you today. I accept the sacrifice that you paid for me. I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord. I live for you. Thank you, Lord, for coming into my life today. I ask it in Jesus' name. I'm going to close with this prayer for somebody tonight. I just really feel this tug in my heart. We're speaking to some families tonight. There's some dysfunction that God wants to clear up. You have to hear. You have to listen. God is speaking to you, but you have to listen. The pathway to making it right is for you to bow your knee to Him. Father, I pray for that man and that woman tonight, that you will heal and restore everything that has been broken. I ask you to put it back together tonight. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. So excited to be with you. Thank you for joining us tonight. I want to give Ryan some thumbs up, give him some hearts, give him some love. Thank you, all of you who have given. Use the PushPay app. You can text the word Thus City Church to 77977. Go to thecitychurch.com or send your gift, tithe or offering to City Church, 210 East Main, Batavia, New York, 14020. I'll see you 8:30, 10 a.m., 12 noon this Sunday. He loves you. Carrie Cardinelli Shop, thank you for being here. Come on, wasn't that amazing? I saw when she got up to start singing, all the hearts went up. We love her. We thank you, Carrie. Love you. God bless you.